Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Pillar Podcast. This podcast is in cooperation with a charity called YouthLink. It's on focus on mental health. I'm your moderator for today. My name is Theo, or Marshall. My pronouns are they and them.
Hi, I'm August. My pronouns are they, them.
I'm Kane. My pronouns are they, them.
Hello, my name is Ewan. My pronouns are he, him.
As I said, this is in cooperation with another charity called YouthLink, and we've decided to make this podcast about our mental health. But we're trying to keep a focus on the positive. Despite this, I would like to add just a blanket trigger warning, because I'm not entirely sure what we're going to be bringing up or not. We're going to mention some statistics that might be upsetting, and I want to make sure that anyone who might be upset by this is forewarned before they go into it. But to get us rolling, get everything out of the way, we're going to start with sharing some of our tips that we find help ourselves with our mental health when we're struggling and we want to feel a bit better, or you're just trying to generally survive. So what I like to do is I like to play Minecraft because I'm a massive nerd. I like to talk to my friends and I like to hang out with my dog.
For me, I like to cosplay, have a healthy amount of sleep, and look at wholesome memes.
I like seeing my friends a few times a week, or as much as possible, really. I like taking my dog for a walk at the local park, and I'm also trying to let myself take things a little bit easier, especially recently, and not force myself to be productive. So I just try and chill where I can and just watch YouTube and TV shows and stuff like that.
Video games are definitely a big part. I'm quite partial to Stardew Valley. I find that very relaxing. Other than that, I like to just make sure I actually leave the house on a frequent basis and try and find something to help me split the days up so I can tell one day from another.
Definitely, yeah. All right, so to sort of open up the rest of the discussion, I'd like to just mention a couple of statistics. I found these by Googling LGBT mental health statistics, but I've come across one from a survey from July 2017, was published in February 2019 from gov.uk. They found overall LGBT people are less satisfied in their life on average. I think they measured that on a scale of 1 to 10 in this survey. They have found that 2 out of 5 respondents have experienced verbal harassment or physical violence for being LGBT, and most of them have not reported it. And 2% have been to conversion therapy, and a further 5 have been offered, and conversion therapy is just absolutely terrible. On top of all that, 24% of the respondents, when answered this survey, said that they have accessed mental health services in the last year. So that is almost a quarter of LGBT people have felt that they're struggling to a point where they've needed to get into contact with mental health services. So that's why we decided to talk about this on the podcast, because we know that a lot of young people, young LGBT people like us, but also not young LGBT people, suffer with a lot of mental health issues because being in a minority makes you vulnerable to surgery. So I guess we'd like to give some advice on just helping support generally your LGBT people in your life. So things that might help them feel safe and welcome to talk to you or around you, so that they don't fear that they might be a victim of any verbal harassment or anything. So I would say it's important to listen to them when they're saying that something is maybe transphobic, homophobic. It's important to hear what they're saying and try to learn from them as much as possible.
Yeah, probably just understanding what they identify as. Like, don't be afraid to like ask questions to your friend.
I think it's quite important that when they are telling you, maybe especially if they're coming out, if you have questions, don't question them. Well, why are you like this? Are you sure? Questions like that that are almost portrayed a lot of the time as kind of an attack on their identity. And instead, if you have questions more like, well, what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? What do I have to do to make you comfortable? How can I find out more about this? Stuff like that, instead of a more about, well, why are you this? Why do you think this? Like, make it less kind of attacking and less as if you're questioning their existence.
Definitely.
Trying to figure things out can be particularly messy, and things can change as people try out different labels or try out different things. You just try and go with it the best you can. You might get confused from time to time, but just keep trying.
Yeah, I really like that point, actually. I've changed my name twice after coming out as non-binary, so, and I know a lot of other trans people find it really difficult to stick to a name, and then once they find the name that they're really happy with, they'll be a lot more comfortable in keeping it. But yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I literally introduced myself with two names to start this podcast, so...
Just be patient. That's practically the sum up of it. Patience is...
Patience and empathy. So, as very clearly all LGBT people, do any of you have any tips on self-care, maybe specifically relating to your identity, that you'd like to share?
Probably, like, doing stuff you like. Like, for me, I like doing cosplay, and even if that's just dressing up for about 10 minutes, maybe into an hour, I just love being the character I'm being, and it just makes me feel really happy.
I can see that being really gender-affirming.
Yeah, and just, like, treating yourself with, like, sweeties and, you know, some junk food, and that's okay.
I can always get behind that. I think another important thing is definitely if you're wanting to transition not comparing yourself to other people and their progress or how they've done it, because I think that can become pretty toxic pretty quickly if you're looking at other people and you're obsessing, like, wow, they've come so far, they pass so well, I'm not valid because I don't want top surgery, stuff like that. Comparing yourself, it can make you feel really bad. And if you manage to stop doing that and remember that you are valid no matter what steps you take to transition, or even if you just think, yeah, I'm non-binary and I'm just going to stay with my appearance as it is, like me, then that's completely valid too. Even if... you know, just any steps to transitioning that you feel comfortable taking and you want to take, then that is completely valid. You don't have to, you know, do anything that you're not comfortable with. And that's still, it doesn't mean that you're not transgender. It doesn't mean that you're not valid.
Good point. Absolutely agreed.
It's fine to take the time you need to figure out where you fit in. You will figure it out eventually, but it can take time, and that's fine. It's what it is.
Or,
everyone has to go through that.
After enough time, you might even get comfortable enough knowing that you don't know. Like, I'm kind of at that point. I'm like,
well, yeah, that's a good point.
I'm like, I've got two names. I'm sure that's enough. I also think it is so important not to compare yourself to other people, because a lot of where anxiety can come from and the way that you can end up treating yourself with anxiety, you can compare yourself in ways that are really harsh on yourself, in ways that you would never ever compare anyone else. Like, you can say some things to yourself that are just so mean, and you would never once in your life think about saying that to another person, and that goes for everyone. And it's so important to give yourself the compassion to just try your hardest to just let go sometimes. I know it's so I think another aspect of self-care for LGBT people is finding, like, your sense of where you stand in the community. Finding local groups. I know in Inverness, where Pillar is based, there's at least three, I think. There's Pillar, obviously, which is the LGBT Youth Scotland group. There is one based at the college called Clear Nest, which is welcome to all students from the college and I think others. And there's the LGBT forum, which is now called Highland Pride, who have meetings every month, I think, as long as there isn't some sort of national pandemic going on. I think these places are really important for people because sometimes you're not necessarily just going to find a bunch of other people who are just like you by not trying to reach out, if that makes sense. Like, when I first came out, when I first came out as trans, I was 15, and I didn't know any other LGBT people at all that weren't, like, 6 years older than me or something, and used to go to my school, and I never spoke to them in my life because I was a baby. So for me, moving, well, starting to come to Pillar and under LGBT of Scotland was a really big step for me, and it was really good for me because I was able to find other people like me, like Nate, who is our youth worker, is the best person in the world. I've been going to the group for like 6 years now. So there's a lot of stuff. He's essentially been with me through my whole journey. Because when I first went, I was still not sure what my name would be when I changed it, to now in my life where I have both of my names and I love them.
And potentially a third.
Potentially a third. Who knows? Anything could happen. He's seen me through quite a lot of the lows. Also now, the recovery from what I was diagnosed with, which is borderline personality disorder. And having group there as a consistent support, even if I didn't necessarily go for a couple months at a time, which I have taken periods of, has been just such a comfort to know that if maybe I have friends that understand me on a mental health level but don't understand me on a trans level, I can go and talk to people who do understand me on a trans level or a bi level or some sort of LGBT plus part of my identity.
I really agree with that, actually. And the fact that we both have had Nate as well throughout our time at group, and because I'm kind of the same. I haven't been going as long as you. I think I've been going for 4 years.
Yeah.
Nate's helped me with a lot of things that I never thought I'd have to go through.
Yeah.
And they've helped me understand who I am. And you helped me understand who I am. Because if I probably hadn't have met you and been like, I think I'm androgynous, and you're going, yeah, no shit, I don't think I would have been able to understand that I was non-binary.
You're welcome. A good thing with Pillar, so through LGBT with Scotland, who run groups all over, for example, August is actually from a group in Dundee and is joining us digitally. The good thing is that they do offer one-to-one sessions. So if you are struggling with something that you don't want to talk about in a group setting, you can just talk to your youth worker like we talked to Nate.
Done that with
I think that's a really good part of it.
I've taken up so much of their time.
Yeah, mate.
No, it's fine. I mean, personally for me, I'm still kind of new to the group. And I've probably been going for about a year now, maybe a little less after that, but around about that. And like, I've ended up fitting in really well. I've managed to get into Pillar, even though I'm from Dundee. And I just, yeah.
Some of my friends are jealous.
And I've just made like so many friends from it. And I've also, when I first started, I was only in my last year of school, 6 year, and I was still struggling. I was struggling for years, and I didn't know who to talk to because my school didn't really have support for it. And I eventually found someone to talk to, and I got practically recommended to my youth worker, which is Barry, and he helped me and told me about the club. And I went to the club, and I found out that I wasn't the only gender fluid person, and it helped me realize that I can also be very different, because when I saw other gender fluid people, they were really masculine when they were feeling he him, they were really feminine when they were feeling she her, and when they were non-binary technically they were like quite in the middle, and I never felt like that. And so I didn't feel like I was gender fluid until I saw other people in my group, and it helped me realize that I don't need to look one way for being gender fluid.
Yeah. It helps you get this like perspective of other people's experiences, which helps you be more compassionate towards your own, I think.
Before group, genuinely, my only kind of experience of seeing like androgynous and non-binary people were the people who looked kind of like ethereal, and like the people who did high fashion and low-key looked a bit like an alien. Yeah, and like, I was just kind of like, well, I'm never going to look like that, so I'm not non-binary. And then I go to group and I'm like, no, yeah, I'm non-binary.
For me, I joined group, it must be about a year ago now. Getting there. It was the first time I'd ever sat in a room with other LGBT people. That was quite an amazing experience. I think I knew one person from my days at the academy or secondary school, but that was about it. So coming to group really, really helped.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that a little bit. For example, even when I started group, as it was so long ago, there wasn't that many active members at the time. There was maybe two or three other active members, so people that would go really regularly. But even that, to me, was a great comfort. And now when Kane started attending Pillar, a lot more people started attending soon after.
And then they all kind of left because they moved on to different places in life. But then we got a bunch of new people really in like the last year or so.
Yeah, and
it's great. Because for a little while we weren't on because I think Nate was ill. But then when we came back, like loads of people started coming in and it was really cool.
Yeah, it's so great to see so many people find somewhere to turn to.
Yeah.
All right, I think maybe we've gushed enough about LGBT and how great they are. But the next thing I've gotten written down on our podcast plan is tips on supporting friends and family. So maybe any tips that you have for helping out people in your life related to the fact that they're LGBT, but also just related to their mental health in general, if they're not LGBT, ways to support them if they're struggling.
Tips, I would say just be patient with them. Like sometimes it's the best thing to do, just sometimes sit and wait and go with the flow.
Definitely.
For me, I find some of my friends just kind of disappear for a few weeks or months at a time, and just checking in with them seems to help quite a lot. Just making sure you have at least some communication with other people.
Definitely. So important to stay connected.
I feel that being empathetic towards people can really make a difference, because a lot of the time people's mental health can seem irrational and illogical and it doesn't make sense. It's not really the time to be questioning or putting people down and saying that they're overreacting or that there's nothing to be upset about or that it's just, you know, it's not real. You shouldn't be scared of this. It's not going to happen. And it's like, yes, we'll know that after. If somebody's, you know, really upset about something that seems like it's not a big deal, they'll probably understand that afterwards. But it's just during that moment, just being able to be empathetic and understanding that our heads can really distort reality, even in the most simplest ways, and it can be really hard to do the simplest of things simply because it's just our brain is telling us something completely different, and it can make even just getting out of bed or living for one day just the most difficult task in the world.
You're right. I also think it's important to just try your hardest to learn to communicate on an individual level, like for everyone ever. So if someone comes to you and tells you that they're struggling, it's a nice thing to ask them, you know, do you want my support in that you want to just tell me about it and I just listen empathetically, or would you like me to try and offer some solutions? And then neither of you are going to get frustrated at each other, because I find sometimes when I'm arguing with people, it's because they're trying to give me a solution and I don't want a solution, then we get annoyed. It's also good to try and just, if you want to be a safe space for someone, then ask them how you can do that for them. Ask them how best you can help take care of themselves, or how you can help take care of them for them. Ask what kind of things they might like to do instead, if they're feeling anxious, or talk to them about what it is they might want or need in the moment to help them through a difficult time.
Support available. Nate.
If you're living in Inverness, Nate's brilliant.
Even if you live outside of Inverness, Nate is brilliant.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're in Highland, Nate is brilliant. Right, okay, so... Okay, so we're coming to the end of our podcast. Hopefully it's been not too rocky so far. I'd like to exit with a couple more statistics. So I found these on the Stonewall Health Report, which you can find on the Stonewall website. They have found through their own surveys that half of LGBT people, 52%, say that they have experienced depression in the year leading up to whenever they were surveyed. And that Black and minority ethnicities, I think is what BAME stands for, are at higher risk of eating disorders, as well as in general, a lot of non-binary people. So it's important to be aware that these are things that can affect either you or your friends or your children or your pupils or whoever you are. This can affect people around you. And it's important to keep an eye out. So to add a bit of support to this, as we are obviously just a podcast and can't actively listen to your problems, we'd like to give you a little bit of information about where you might be able to go if you or someone you love is struggling. So, of course, LGBTYS, LGBT of Scotland, is a brilliant resource if you're looking to join groups or generally connect with a youth worker who can help you with some of your problems through one-to-one conversations. The website is lgbtyouth.org.uk. They offer live chats on certain days if you want to talk to someone online. And through the current COVID-19 pandemic, we are running groups online through Discord, which is how we are also recording this.
Woo.
So there is no lack of support through this isolating time. Another for young people is childline.org.uk. Obviously, I'm sure you've all been told about them. You can go to them with pretty much anything. There is samaritans.org.uk for people of all ages. That's the phone number is 116123. For general resources, there's mind.org.uk and mentalhealth-uk.org. I don't want to overload you with links, so I'm going to summarise with Calm is a charity focused on men's mental health, because sometimes men can find it a lot harder to talk. And that can be found at thecalmzone.net. And if you feel you're struggling with an eating disorder, b-eat.co.uk is a good resource. In the Highlands specifically, if you contact LGBT Youth Scotland, you will probably be put in contact with Nate, because they're the only youth worker in the region, so you'll be able to say, hey, I've heard about how wonderful you are. Theo told me how great you are. And they'll be like, oh.
Kane, thanks so much.
Oh yeah, Kane told me how great you are. Sorry. We all say it.
Yeah.
But there is also a specifically Highland region, mikeysline.co.uk, is a local charity set up to help local people deal with issues, and I just wanted to bring that out there because I think that they are an absolutely wonderful organization. But I do think that is enough links right now, so I think we're gonna just wrap it up around here. Remember, if you are struggling at all, you can reach out to your friends, to your parents, maybe to your teachers if you're in school or in college, your tutors. Just there is always going to be someone out there to listen to you if you are struggling and you want support. So a big thank you to YouthLink for reaching out to us to offer us this project. We've had a lot of fun. I hope we've been a good resource for you guys. I just want to say, if you've listened to this whole thing, and if you are still living and breathing today, which I can only assume you are, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Thank you so much for listening. There's Pillar, which is our LGBT youth stop.
You just have it as well.
Oh, let the dog be in the podcast.
Boss, do you have something important to say?